many of you are glad that he's risen? Right? There's a lot of things. And I was talking to some people before service. I think I was talking to my dad and my mom the other day. I was like, do you know that every Easter you hear the same sermon in a different way? Pretty much. It's like Mother's Day. Mother's Day, you hear how great moms are and how you're supposed to take care of them a little bit different than we talked about it last year, right? You guys know what happened. And one of the cool things, he stole my thunder. I was gonna say, what I love about the resurrection story is that the first women to preach the gospel, share the good news, the first people were women. Right? They came and said, hey, he's not there. And the guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about. What? And they told him again, he is not there. He's risen just like he said. One of the things I want us to understand before we get into what we're going to talk about today is that in your situation, if he said it, he's going to do it. If his word tells us about it, he's going to do it. Amen? I want you guys to understand that. I want you to see that. And what we're going to do today, we've been talking about covenants. And we're going to go back into talking about covenants. Those of you who are at home, I forgot to tell you this. We're going to take communion in just a little bit towards the end of the service. And we're going to remember. How many of you know he tells us that we're supposed to remember? Do this in remembrance of me. And this is one of the days that we remember. We're going to do that in a little while. So if you want to go ahead and get the stuff and get it together, we're going to talk about covenant and the new covenant. And as I was going to do, and I told you last week, I was going to go through and I was going to show you and tell you all the ways that Jesus fulfilled that. But think this thought, there's eight of them, and if I talk for 5 minutes about each one of those things, mathematicians, how long is that? 40 minutes. That's a long time, right? And I know I go for a long time, but then I'm going to add stuff into it, so it'll be even longer. So I decided I'm going to cut it back a little bit, and we're going to go through a couple of things. And I'm going to explain to you how the new covenant differs from the old covenant and what's going on between the two. And then another week, in a couple more weeks, we're going to go back. We still have the Palestinian covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then we'll talk more about the new covenant and how. I'll leave the 40 minutes for that Sunday, okay? You guys good with that? Everybody's like, amen, we got a ham at home ready to eat. How many of you have a ham at home ready to eat? Oh, sweet. I'm 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to make the rounds in a little while. It's going to be good. Pastors are going to show up. Don't tell preachers you got food at home, man. Come on. Especially if it's chicken. Anyway, we're talking about covenant. What is covenant? Covenant is a formal agreement, solemn and binding agreement, or a written promise, usually under seal by two or more parties. I'm not going to go deep into this week because we've done it for the last 7 weeks. So go back and check that out. Eight different covenants: the Edenic covenant, the Adamic covenant, the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant. That's where we've gotten so far. I'm going to talk a little bit about the new covenant today. Then there is the Palestinian covenant and the Davidic covenant. And remember, there are key words for all of those. Go back and look at it again. One of the other things about a covenant is there are unilateral covenants and bilateral covenants, which means a unilateral covenant is what we're going to talk about today. And a bilateral covenant is where two parties agree to do something and each person has a stake in it. You guys understand what that means? Right? So, Dwayne, I was helping him move a golf cart. I told him he had to come to, I promised him I'd do that. He promised me he'd come to Bible study. Right, on that Wednesday morning. And so I called him and I texted him. I'm like, hey, bro, what's happening tomorrow? He said, bilateral covenant. I'm coming to Bible study. You helping me move the golf cart. That's the way it works. So what happens? If you don't come to Bible study, I ain't helping to move the golf cart, right? That's the way it is. There you go. It was easy to move the golf cart. But do you understand what I'm saying? That's the principle. That's an easy way to understand the difference between a bilateral and a unilateral covenant. The unilateral covenant would have been, Dwayne, regardless of what you do, I'm bringing the golf cart to your house. The end, right? Today, we're going to talk about the difference between the new covenant and the old covenant, because the old covenant was made, we talked about that, the Mosaic covenant, that's the one covenant that everyone else remembers. We talked about it last week, where God made the promise, right? And he said, Israel, if you follow these commandments, it's right after he made them a nation, bringing them out of Egypt. He said, if you do this, then I will be your God, and I will do all these different things. And what did they say to that? We will do everything you have said. Like, they didn't even let it sink in for a minute, right? How many of you somebody says something, be like, okay, wait a minute. You said this, and I got to think about this for a minute, you know? How many of you are that person? How many of you are the people when you get your app on your phone and they, y'all, I did this yesterday. I'm just going to be, so y'all know how I am about buying those free knives that all you do is pay for shipping. Remember I told you about all those? They had this 20-inch machete and it was like the bad to the bone. I sent it to you. Did you get it? Okay. Anyway, sorry. Wait, that's good. Good job. But we'll talk about this later, babe. No, what happened was, so I bought it. But do you know what I started thinking about while I was going through the things? It says terms and conditions. Do you agree? I'm like, yep, I want my machete. Boo! I agreed. And then I thought about it. I was like, wait a minute. What if it's that one where I got to pay $59.99 a month for like a year now that we went through before? I'm like, we'll deal with it later, right? But that's what we do, right? That's what we do with the covenants. That's what they did. They were like, you know what? We're going to do it. Yep, we're all in. They didn't even understand what they said they were all in for. How many people want the promises of God but don't understand what it entails? Right? Don't understand what it entails. God, I want for you to save me, but I really don't want you to be my Lord. It doesn't work that way. Right? He's your Lord and Savior. He's not one or the other. You don't get to have one and not have the other. And I know I've said that over and over and over again, but it's important that we get that. I love what my wife says. She got it out of a book. She tells me, she reminds me every time. My wife told me this. She's like, I read it in a book. Give the book credit. Okay. She says, we want to ask Jesus to follow us instead of we want to follow Jesus. We want to say, Jesus, come follow me with my life. Here's my heart. Come this way to get it, Jesus. And that's not what happens. Right? When we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus, he says, come follow me. Leave everything. Be different than you are right now and follow me. When we get into the covenants and we see the old covenant versus the new covenant, we see a couple of different things. The one thing that we need to understand, the first thing that I want you to put this in your notes, this is number one, and I think I have it up there, is the new covenant was a better covenant with better promises. And you say, well, where do you get that from? I get it from the scripture. How many of you, if you don't get it from the scripture, you shouldn't use it, right? I'm going to say that again. If you don't get it from the scripture, you shouldn't use it, right? Okay. Hebrews 8:6 says this. It says, but as it is, Christ obtained a ministry that is much more excellent than the old covenant. He mediates, as the old covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. So the new covenant is better. Why? Because there's better promises that come with it. There's better promises that come than just, I'm your God and you're going to walk with me and fellowship with me. What does he give us? New life, change, a renewed spirit. He puts his Holy Spirit inside of us. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. When you look in the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God came on people, it came on them and it left. It didn't dwell inside of them. He gives us the ability to conquer anything. Why? Because he's inside of us. And he wants to do it through us. It's a better covenant with better promises. So why did he have to do the new covenant? Because number two, the old covenant was faulty. There was an issue with the old covenant. Hebrews 8:7 says this, for if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. At the first one, if we could have done it, if we could have lived through it, and we could have done everything that we were supposed to do, keeping those 10 commandments, you know there was 10 rules he gave us to start with, right? There's like 648 or 605, I don't know, 600 something commandments. Like 200 and something of them are the positive ones, like do this. And then the other ones are don't do this, right? There's a lot of don't do's. There's a lot of do's, right? When you ask people what does it mean to be a Christian, most of them say, you don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. Give up your friends. You know, you can't drink. You can't go to movies. You can't do this. You can't do that. That's not what it is to be a Christian. What it is to be a Christian is to have a relationship. One of the differences between the old covenant and the new covenant, the better promises, is that we can boldly enter the throne room of God when they could not before. If you read in the story, when he said it is finished and he gave up the ghost, it says there was an earth shake, an earthquake. He said people, in Matthew it says people came out of the tomb and walked around that had been dead. That's awkward, right? It said that happened in Matthew. But what happened, what I want you to see, is it says that the temple veil, which is, like, I don't even understand how they could make this, which is supposed to be 4 feet thick. 4 feet thick is a curtain. Like, I mean, I got some heavy curtains to keep the sun out. How many of you got them blind out curtains? And they kind of thick, but they're not 4 feet. Read your scripture. 4 feet thick. And what happened? It ripped. How did it rip? From the top, from God to us. From God to us. And says, you have access to me now. You could come to me at any time. The old covenant didn't have that. The old covenant, I had to give a bull or a goat to a priest, and he had to wash in a certain way and do certain things and had to sacrifice the animal in a certain way. And if it wasn't all done just exactly right, do you know, yeah, when he went in the temple, this is funny. Read your scripture. There's this crazy stuff in the scripture. Rob sent me like two or three. He's like, look at these crazy scriptures and sent them to me. I'm like, yeah, I know. There's some wild ones in there, right? But what happened is that they would tie a rope around their waist and put bells on their feet. So it's like Christmas time, like the little elves, you know? Ging, ging, ging. Like they're going around through doing this thing. And if the bell stopped and they didn't start back too soon, man, he was dead. Go ahead and pull him on out. Let's send another one in, right? That's the way it was. I mean, I'm joking about how that's just how I bring things across, but that's what it was. It was a serious thing, and you had to be a certain way, or you could not enter into the presence of God. Do you know what? I said this before, and I hope you understand. If we're not the perfect church. The only perfect church is, this is a perfect church, though. I don't know if you know this, but it's when we all leave. And it's just the church in Jesus, the building in Jesus, right? That's when this place would be perfect, right? But as soon as I step in the door, I've got issues and flaws, right? But God says, I don't care. I love you. I sent my son for you. The thing about the new covenant and the old covenant is the old covenant, I told you earlier, the Israelites said, I will do these things. God, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. The new covenant, God says, you don't have to do anything. I'm going to do it for you. Jeremiah 31. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. This is one of the things that you'll see over and over again is God tells us what he's going to do long before he does it. Remember, we talked about Abraham. He's 75 years old. He's like, I'm going to give you a kid. You're going to have so many ancestors that you can't count the stars in the sky. However many you can, sand in the sea, you're going to have more than that, right? And he's 100 years old. I'm like, yeah, right. Like I said earlier, he says, hey, if God said it, he's going to do it, right? In the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, we're going to read two places. We're going to read Jeremiah and we're going to read Ezekiel. And I want you to see some things that he says here. Behold, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34 is what I'm going to read. It says, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I, everybody say I, when I make a covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke. Understand that. Do you know what was faulty about the old covenant? It had people in it. It had people in it. And look, listen, man. I will never let you down on purpose. I will do everything I can to be the best pastor I can be. But I'm going to mess up. Because I'm me. Please give me grace. Please come to me about it. If there's a problem or an issue, come to me and say, man, this is what I see. Let me explain my heart behind it. I love what John says. He said, you can always question what I did, but not the why that I did it. My heart behind it. I just butchered your comment. But you got what I'm saying, right? You can question what I did, but not my heart behind why I did it. I'm going to do everything I can for the growth of Victory Church, for your growth, right? Sometimes that means I got to be kind of hard with some words. I got to speak to people in certain ways. I always want to speak them in love. Sometimes it doesn't happen. One of the things I was talking to my buddy about, that we were talking about something, and he's like, well, I didn't really like the way it was presented, so I didn't get anything out of it. Do you know sometimes the enemy will use whatever he can use to get you from getting what God wants to give you? And this is something that I believe God spoke to me at that moment when I was talking with him and I shared it with him. I said, just because the wrapping is ugly doesn't mean God's not giving you a present. Right? Just because you don't like how it was presented to you does not mean God isn't trying to speak to you through it. So whether somebody comes at you harshly or not, again, one of my sisters and I was in an argument. I told you this before. And she said, don't speak to me like you speak to your wife. And I'm like, wait a minute. That made me mad. I'll ready to start throwing blows. It's my sister, so I didn't. But you know what I mean? I felt like it. And then, you know what Scripture says? If you feel like it in your heart. Anyway. But do you know what? 2 days later, I went to my wife and I said, babe, I said, this is what was said to me. Do I speak to you in a bad way? She said, sometimes you do. And it was an opportunity for us to work on things. And for me to say, forgive me, first of all. Guys, you need to treat your ladies best person in the earth. Understand? Ladies, you need to do the same thing for them. I'm not just going to pick on you guys. Ladies, you get it too. But it's one of those situations that it was an opportunity, even though I didn't like how it was presented to me, it was an opportunity for me to change. Right? You need to look for those opportunities. Going back to our scripture, my covenant they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. How many of you are thankful that God says he's going to do that? Do you realize in there he never once said, I'm going to do it, but only if you do this? He didn't say that. What did he say? He's like, I'm going to do this. Now, how many of you have ever received a gift? Somebody gave it to you and you never used it. Do you know God gives this to you? It's yours if you choose. If you choose. Ezekiel, I love this one. Sorry, I cried and now my nose is running and I don't want to sniff in y'all's ears, sorry. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 38. Now, for those of you who have gone to churches before and they sprinkle, how many of you ever gone, instead of baptism, they sprinkle for baptism? This is where they get this from, right? You know how we do it here. You come, you're going under, right? Death, burial, resurrection. That's the way we do it here, right? But here it says this in Ezekiel. This is where they get that from. I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. You guys see where they could get that? That's where that's from. From all your idols, I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit within inside you. I will remove your heart of stone from you. From your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers and you shall be my people and I will be your God. This brings us to the next thing. Now, you heard earlier, that it's not a list of rules and regulations of what we can and can't do, right? Ten Commandments is not. But there is a belief that because Jesus came, that we don't have to live under the law. That is a lie. I'm just going to tell you that. Let me explain before you get cranky. Some people are getting cranky already. Don't get cranky. Let me explain. I don't have to obey those laws for God to love me, for me to come into his presence. I have access to him through Christ, right? But it's not about me having to do these things. It's about me wanting to do these things. Do you know that scripture where the Bible where it says God will give you the desires of your heart? How many are glad some of your desires that you desired before you came to know him, he did not fulfill? Right? Do you know why he gives you the desires of your heart? Because your desires change. When you give your life to Christ, you want to be who he created you to be. You want to do the things that please him. He gives us the comparison of Christ and the church and God and the church and the bride and groom, right? Do you know, again, my wife did not ever give me a list of rules. The only thing she said I can't do is grow my hair out long again. That's the only, she's like, that was nasty, you can't do it, right? That's the only thing. But she didn't give me a list of rules. It's like, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, and then you can be my husband. She didn't do that. But do you know what? I do everything I can to please my wife in my behavior and the way that I treat her and the things that I do, things that would make her happy. Why? Because she said, if you don't do it, I don't love you. No, because I want to please her. I want her to be happy. I love her, right? I love y'all, but I don't, you're going to be cranky at me sometimes. I'm okay with that. I don't want her cranky at me, right? I want to do everything I can for her. When you give your life to Christ and you start following him and you listen to the Spirit that he's put inside of you, it says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my laws. It's not that it's a list of rules and regulations that we have to do. It's that we want to do it, and we do it. Why? Because we're changed. Because we're different. So new covenant, point number three, it's a new covenant. It's the same rules. It's a new covenant, same rules. They're there. They're still there. But does he, he's not sitting there waiting to pounce on you because you messed them up. That's the thought process that people have. How do I know that the same rules apply? Because all throughout the New Testament, it says over and over and over and over and over that we're supposed to keep his commandments. Revelations. Here's a call for the endurance of the saints. This is Revelations 14:12. Here's a call for the endurance of the saints. Those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. I keep his commandments because I love him and I have a relationship with him. It doesn't mean that I have salvation. My salvation has come through my faith in what Christ did for me. That's where my salvation comes from. Now, is my life going to change when I receive him? If it doesn't, I didn't receive him. If it doesn't, I didn't receive him. If it doesn't, then I've tried to make him my Savior and not my Lord. I've invited him to follow me. Jesus, come follow me, do life with me over here. That's not the way it works. There's going to be a change. There is going to be a change. 1 John 2, 1 through 6. My little children, I am writing these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. I can look at your life and tell whether you have a really good relationship with Jesus by your actions, not by your words. Not by your words. Actions prove who a person is. Words, my coach put this on his thing. Actions prove who a person really is. Words prove who they pretend to be. Right? I can say stuff all day long, but if my actions don't back it up, that's not who I am. Amen? This is what this says. And we know, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. For whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way which he walked. We're supposed to look like Christ if we're following him, if we love him, if we have the relationship, if our lives are changed. That's kind of a cranky point, huh? Everybody's like, that's kind of tough. Can you say something funny now? I don't know. We'll see. I don't think I have any jokes in here. But I will say something amazing, because the last point that I'm going to do, and when we're going to be done, we're still going to do communion in a minute, is this. Forgiveness is given under the new covenant. forgiveness is given. So in the Old Testament, as I talked about, when they did the blood sacrifice, and I talked about it in the Edenic covenant or the Adamic covenant, where God killed the animal and gave them skins to cover themselves. And I had somebody ask me a question, and somebody asks you a question and you're blank, well, maybe you guys aren't because you're kind of looking at me blank right now. But do you know that point when that happens and somebody asks you a question and you go blank for a second? Well, they asked me this. It's like, man, they had to have been a while before they sacrificed an animal because they only had two of each kind come on the ark, and it was that. But if you read the scripture, he had seven of every clean animal, which is what would be sacrificed, and only two of the unclean animals. So when we teach our kids and we say they came two by two, it's a half-truth. Some of them came seven by seven, right? Like they came in that way. It depends on clean animal, unclean animal. So that's in the scripture. That's one of those things that's there, but you don't really understand it. You don't really see it. How many of you have read the story of Noah many times? How many of you have not ever seen that before? Well, you guys, okay, I'm the only one. Me and Rob. Rob raised his hand. Me and you, Rob, we're the only ones. Everybody else got it first time. My wife wishes I could get things the first time, right? Anyway, forgiveness is given under the new covenant. James, and I think we added this in, James 8 through 13 is what I'm going to read right now. I only had one verse before, but they took care of me. Verse 8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. So I can do all kinds of things right. This is the next verse. Let me read this. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, and also said, do not commit murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. And we're like, well, I'm not going to kill nobody, and I'm not going to sleep around. But are you bearing false witness against people? Are you spreading gossip? Are you listening to it? How many of you know if you listen to it, you're as guilty as the one spreading it? I'm just going to be honest. So this is what it says after that. So because of that, let's do this. Let's speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Do you know what that tells us? We need to forgive people. Aaron, would you come on up, man? We need to forgive people. If you want to have forgiveness, you need to forgive people. Like, but you don't understand. It doesn't say you gave them mercy if we really understand what they did truly the first time. It doesn't say that. It says mercy. And if you want God's mercy, do you know what? You need to give mercy. What does the scripture says? Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it fall into your lap? That is the correct usage of that verse. The principle works across the board. But he's talking about don't judge lest you be judged. Forgive so you'll be forgiven. Give those things and it will be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. So what we're going to do in just a minute, we're going to take communion. He's going to sing. Some people are going to pass some stuff out. And if you got it at home, be ready because we're going to do it in just a few minutes. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to think right now something different than you probably would think on an Easter Sunday. I want you right now to think of the people that you need to forgive. Because Jesus paid for your forgiveness. He gave it to you. How many of you know he gives to us to give through us, right? He gives to me so that I can have an overflow. There's people that are in your life right now. And when I said that, somebody came to your mind. Some of you be like, well, I ain't forgiving them. Be careful. Be careful. We need to forgive. Amen? So this is what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to ask God to make your life right. God, what is there in my life that I need to change? What is there in my life that I need to give to you? What do I need to get rid of in my life? Help me with that. Forgive me. But then I want you to go a step further. And when you say, God, help me forgive, you ain't got to go in. You know God already knows the details of why you don't forgive him, right? He already knows. So you don't have to go into detail and explain out. This is why, this is why, this is why. Don't you understand? I mean, he already knows. He understands. But he still said we need to follow.